This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Shafi'ina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Imagine if someone came into the masjid and put up a poster for something haram, like maybe a lottery, even if it's for charity, or maybe a beer tasting event, or perhaps they left some bottles of beer, or a flag, or a symbol that is associated with haram. The moment I see it, I would remove it. The moment I came across such a thing in the masjid, I would immediately go and remove it from the masjid. And you would probably do the same as well. On the other hand, if someone came into the masjid with such haram items or symbols, we would speak to them and advise them that such things are not appropriate in the masjid. Yet, if any of this were to happen outside the masjid, on the street, on the sidewalk, at the park, across the street, we would not like it, but we would not say anything, even though we would consider it to be wrong in our hearts. So you see, this, my brothers and sisters, is a simple and practical explanation of the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu and recorded in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadih, fa illam yastati' fa bilisanihi, fa illam yastati' fa biqalbihi, wa dhalika adhaful iman." Whoever among you sees munkar, the word used is munkar. Whoever amongst you sees munkar, let him change it with his hands. If he cannot do so, then with his tongue. If he cannot do so, then with his heart, which is the weakest level of faith. Now you see here, my brothers and sisters, the operative word, the key word here is munkar. And we translate it often as evil. Munkar is that act or utterance on which there is unanimity of opinion of all religious jurists as being impermissible or being haram. Something which is uniformly accepted as being wrong and as being haram. There is no difference of opinion on a munkar. It is something which is universally understood to be forbidden and to be wrong. Therefore, if there is a difference of opinion by the religious jurists, then none of their views can be regarded as being munkar. If there is a difference of opinion amongst the fuqaha, then their views cannot be deemed as being munkar, because clearly there is no unanimity then with regards to the religious jurists, the scholars, not just, you know, any Abdullah or Fatima, but we're talking about the religious authorities and the religious scholars. Thus, we are talking about something that is soundly rejected by all religious authorities. And some will say, in addition to that, which is naturally repulsive, that is qabih, meaning to a person of sound fitrah, a person of sound natural disposition, they would find that action to be repulsive. They would find that action to be repulsive and unacceptable. So some scholars would also include that in the definition of munkar. Then the word that is used is seeing. Man ra'a minkum. Whoever from amongst you sees evil. The commentators of hadith mention that literally seeing the evil with your eyes is not necessary. Right? Even though the hadith says, man ra'a minkum, even though it is mentioning ru'ya, meaning seeing, it does not, you know, it's not necessary that a person literally sees the evil. You know, knowing about it, to a level of certainty without seeing it firsthand also counts. Once again, knowing about an evil to a level of certainty, not doubt, but certainty without seeing it firsthand also counts. Now, as we learn from Surah Al-Waqi'ah, two surahs, Surah Al-Waqi'ah and Surah Al-Takathur, there are how many degrees of certainty of yaqeen? There are 3 degrees of certainty. The first is reasonable certainty, ilmul yaqeen, when you are reasonably certain about something. The second is the certainty from seeing, or you can say empirical certainty through observation, aynul yaqeen. And the third is ultimate certainty, or haqqul yaqeen. So these 3 degrees of certainty. So point is that the evil, the munkar, should be confirmed without doubt. It should be confirmed without any doubt that that evil, that munkar, has occurred or is occurring before we take any action. This is actually very important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us in Surah Al-Hujurat, in the 6th ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the instruction to verify, to investigate before acting upon any news. And as I've mentioned many times, especially in today's world, this is very important, because there has probably never been a time in the history of the world where there has been so much misinformation spreading so quickly because of all the networks and all the ways that people are able to interact and communicate with one another. And especially with artificial intelligence, so many AI tools, you know, photos that can be created or doctored by AI, even on your cell phone nowadays, if you have a new phone or the new updates, right, you can easily manipulate images, even on your own phones. Yes? Even fake videos, right, deep fake videos, where you see, there was a case of a corporate official who was defrauded by, how much was it? $25 million, I think, right? When he was brought into a meeting, and he thought he was seeing his president and all the key people in the company talking, asking him to make this payment, and it was none of them. He was seeing it. You would say it was almost like Aynul Yaqeen, but it was virtual. It was virtual, and they were all fakes. It was deep fake. And he actually got defrauded in this way. So we live in a time of great fraud and great trickery, essentially. So we must be very careful that when we hear some news, you know, and there's people who will willfully twist, misinterpret, or quote out of context, or quote one piece. So that's why whenever I hear something, even if someone posts a picture of an article or something, I like to go look it up myself. I like to go listen to the clip in full myself to really understand the context, because there's a lot of picking and choosing, which sometimes, you know, takes it out of context. So it is very important that before we act upon something, on some news, we verify first to ensure that what is being reported actually happened as the way it is being related before we act upon it. So if you know that something that is munkar, that is soundly rejected in Islam, is happening, and you are a witness to it, right, by seeing it either firsthand or through confirmed information, then you must change it. So if these two things are true, that yes, the munkar, something has happened which is munkar, and it is confirmed, then the responsibility is upon you and me to change it. Now the question is, my brothers and sisters, is how do you go about changing it? How do we go about changing it? Now 3 options are given. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has first mentioned hands, which signifies physically taking action to bring about positive change. The second that is mentioned is the tongue. So meaning through words, it doesn't have to be necessarily spoken, it could be typed as well or written. And the third, with the heart. That is the وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, and that is the weakest, or I don't want to say lowest, but the weakest form of faith. Now what is interesting is that these, you know, appear to be in order of priority. Right, because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ra'a minkum munkar falyughayyir biyadihi fa'in lam yastati'." So fa is used, if you're not capable of doing it, then the next, and then the next. So it appears to be in order of priority. But some of the scholars mention that there are examples when the Prophet ﷺ himself chose to speak first rather than act physically to stop something that was wrong. There are examples when the Prophet ﷺ himself, he spoke first as opposed to physically taking action, even though he could have. So for instance, we have the famous incident of the Bedouin who walked into the masjid. And what did he do? He started urinating in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. And the companions wanted to stop him, and naturally they were getting upset. And they could have dealt with him right away and kicked him out of the masjid. They could have physically stopped him and taken action. Yet the Prophet ﷺ let him finish, and then he advised him through words. And of course he had the place where he had urinated, he had that cleaned. Now in another narration from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and this also is recorded in Sahih Muslim, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالَ And he said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ O Messenger of Allah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن جَاءَ رَجُلٌ يُرِيدُ أَخْذَ مَالِي That what shall I do if someone comes, if a man comes to me with the intention of taking away my wealth, taking away my property. What should I do in that situation? So the Prophet ﷺ says, فَلَا تُطِعِهِ مَالَكَ He says that do not hand it over to him. You know, if he comes seeking your wealth, he wants to take it from you unlawfully, don't give it to him. So then he says, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن قَاتَلَنِي What shall I do if he fights me? So the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, قَاتِلْهُ That if, you know, he's fighting with you, then you fight with him. Then he says, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن قَتَلَنِي Then he says, what will be my, you know, what if he ends up killing me? The Prophet ﷺ replies and he says, فَأَنْتَ شَهِيد You will be a martyr, you will be a shaheed. And then he says, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن قَتَلْتُهُ And what if I end up killing him in the course of this fight? So the Prophet ﷺ said, هُوَ فِي النَّارِ That he will be in the hellfire. So you note here, my brothers and sisters, that the Prophet ﷺ did not instruct him to fight back immediately if someone tries to take your wealth. He didn't say that if someone comes seeking to take your wealth from you unlawfully, your property from you unlawfully, you should immediately, you know, slap him across the face, you should immediately, you know, fight with him and, you know, get him away from you. That's not what he advised. The first thing he advised was to not give it to him. Talk, you know, just deal with it without the fighting part, if possible. But if he attacks, then you can fight back. So we learn that what is preferred, this is important, what is preferred is the path of least resistance. That is most effective in achieving positive change. What is preferred? The path of least resistance, that is most effective in achieving positive change. If the positive change can happen without using hands, meaning without physical effort, just by words, then that is preferred. If physical actions will make the positive change harder to achieve or cause greater harm, then physical actions should not be used. So it depends on the situation, it depends on the context. So the point is that the hadith lays out a general principle that if the evil is present, the munkar is present, and you must absolutely use physical actions, physical effort to change it, and you have the ability to do so, which includes authority, and it is the most effective way of getting change, then go right ahead. You have permission to do that. If you are able, you have the authority, and that is the most effective way to do it, immediately, quickly, you go ahead and you do it. No problem, you have the permission. But there is also a recognition, which I believe is quite significant. When the Prophet ﷺ says, فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ Meaning, if you're not able, if you're not capable of changing it. Right? This is a recognition that there can be times when one is limited in bringing about positive change. There can be, there will be times when our ability is limited to bring about positive change. And we learn the point is not just to do something, anything, to respond to evil. The point is not to just do something or anything to respond to evil. You know, and this is one of the challenges I see, is that when we get upset, We want to respond. It's good. Like, we recognize evil. We get upset by evil. Like, it bothers us, right? It causes discomfort. We feel that it is wrong. And that is a good thing, right? Because we need to recognize wrong as wrong, okay? But then, a lot of times, we get excited about it, and we just want to do something for the sake of doing it. And what we learn is that is not the point. The point is not just to do something or anything to show a reaction. That is not the objective. But rather, the objective is to do something that has the best chance of bringing positive change under the circumstances. That is meant to be the objective of responding when we see evil. The scholars also mentioned that the words that are used, if words are being used, should be gentle at first. Why? Because gentle words are more likely to be better received. And thus, it is the better way of achieving the objective. If you can achieve an objective by using harsh words, or you may achieve it, or maybe even achieve it quickly and in a better way by using more gentle words, then of course the gentle words are more preferred. And they give the example of Fir'aun, who was committing perhaps, you know, essentially the greatest munkar, the greatest of munkar, by claiming to be God and by inflicting horrible oppression. Yet Sayyidina Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam were commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak to him gently. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. And why? قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Why? لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to speak gently to Fir'aun, so perhaps he may be mindful or fearful. Right? It's because it had a better chance of bringing about positive change. Finally, my brothers and sisters, we learn that there can be situations where even speaking is not possible, either due to lack of ability or a lack of authority, or perhaps because doing so may cause even greater harm. There can be such situations. And in that case, even recognizing munkar as munkar, recognizing evil as evil in the heart, is considered to be an act of positive change, right? Because we think about the heart and you say, okay, well, how is that an action, right? But the Prophet ﷺ is linking it back to فَلْيُغَيِّرُهُ, to bringing about change. فَإِلَّمْ يَسَّتِعْ فَبِقَلْبِ. If you're not able to do it even with your tongue, then in your heart. How are you changing it with your heart? So if the heart accepts this evil, think about it. If the heart ends up accepting the munkar, then when it becomes possible to change it through physical or through words, through physical action or through words, then there will be no effort to challenge the munkar, to challenge the evil and bring about positive change. Why? Because the hearts would have already accepted it. Right? If the hearts have accepted, then you're not going to go back to saying, okay, now we need to challenge it, and now, you know, because we've already accepted it. So the heart is the last stand. What is the heart? The heart is the last stand where resistance to evil, to munkar, must continue. Otherwise, if the heart gives in, then evil and munkar will triumph fully and completely. So the qalb, the heart, is the last stand. Even if you're not able to do anything about the situation around you, and there's great evil and munkar around you, and you're not able to effectuate any positive change, then even in recognizing it as evil, as munkar in your heart, that is a form of resistance to munkar, and that is a form of positive change, because by recognizing it as such, one refuses to become part of the munkar, of the evil. Which means that the munkar, the evil, has one less supporter or acceptor. And that too is an act of positive change, incremental positive change, because if your heart accepts it, if a heart accepts it, then that is one more person who has accepted it. And it is one more person who may possibly become a promoter of it. So by keeping the heart in check, ensuring that the heart is still resisting, then that is still pushing back, and thus an act of positive change. But there is an important warning, and that is this, ذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. It is the weakest level of faith. Meaning, if you and I find ourselves in this situation where we are only limited to responding to evil, to munkar, with our hearts, then it means that we are in a really precarious situation. We are in a really precarious situation if we find ourselves at that stage, and it needs our utmost attention and concern because that is the last stand. And there is nothing else after that. If the hearts go, then it's a done deal. So it is the weakest form of faith. So my brothers and sisters, as we see continued evil being inflicted upon our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world, especially in Palestine, and we are coming upon the celebrations, the marking of Fahisha, let us remember this golden guidance from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us resolve to be advocates of positive change in the face of evil, in the face of munkar, in ways that are most effective and that are most suitable based upon the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to bless our efforts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn those who practice and promote munkar into doers and promoters of good. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all, every single one of us, a means of positive change. Allahumma ameen. Wa afru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll take a quick break.